Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of January 14th, 2024. It's entitled Our Great God, and it's based on passages from Isaiah chapter 40. The call to worship is from Psalm 89, verse 8 and 15 from the New Contemporary Version. Lord God, all-powerful, who is like you? Lord, you are powerful and completely trustworthy. Happy are the people who know how to praise you. Lord, let them live in the light of your presence. Amen. As Christians, it is important that we know what we believe. It is vital that we know the truth about our God. And so, we rely on His Word, the Bible. God reveals Himself to us in His Word and through His Word by the power and inspiration of His Holy Spirit. However, Christianity, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, must include more than book knowledge, than head knowledge. It needs to be personal and relationship-driven. Amazing as it sounds to some people, we are invited into a personal relationship with Almighty God. We do not simply know about Him, but we come to know Him as we experience Him working in and through our lives. Now, how can we do that? One way is to know what God has said and then respond appropriately to what He's told us about Himself. During the Advent season, we reminded ourselves that Jesus' birth was in keeping with promises our God had made from our very beginning to send the Savior. I would like to spend most of our remaining months together looking at what our God has promised and its implications for us as we take Him at His word. It has been said, if we can grasp God's promises about who He is and what He is like, it will completely change our outlook on life. We will be able to trust Him and see Him at work. Let me repeat that. If we can grasp God's promises about who He is and what He is like, it will completely change our outlook on life. We will be able to trust Him and see Him at work. Let's remind ourselves what our God has promised about who He is and what He will do, and then act in response to this truth. Isaiah chapter 40 is a powerful chapter which tells us much about our God. It contains the passage John the Baptist used to describe his ministry, and it ends with God's promise to strengthen the weary who place their hope in Him. Now, here are the first 11 verses of Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of a field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. What do we learn about our God in this passage and in this chapter of Isaiah 40? In the first two verses, we see that God has dealt with his people's sin. This promise was fulfilled through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. God has dealt with his people's sin. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 reads, for by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of our God! God has dealt with his people's sins. Now, a second amazing promise in this passage is that God himself is rolling up his sleeves, so to speak, and coming into our situation. We see this in verses 3 to 5 and 9 and 10. The second half of verse 3 is a call. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It's a call here to prepare God's coming. This is what they used to do when the kings were going to come to your land. Get the roads ready, level them out, get rid of the potholes. And then verse 10 says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. God himself is coming into our situation. This is no small thing. This is no small thing. What God is coming. Remember, the presence of God in a situation always changes things. Have you thought about that? When you read in the Bible, the presence of God into a situation always changes things. Seas part, foes flee, droughts end, the lame leap. God himself is coming into our situation, and God has dealt with his people's sin. Now, thirdly, we see God's words and promises are unchanging and eternal. In verse 8, we read, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. When God makes a promise, it's unchanging. His word is eternal. Another passage in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11 says, rain and snow fall from the sky, but they don't return without watering the earth that produces seeds to plant and grain to eat. That cycle of water. And then it goes on. That is how it is with my words, God says. They don't return to me without doing everything I send them to do. That's how it is with my words. They don't return to me without doing everything I send them to do. Now remember, God warned his people not to make rash vows that they might later regret. He wanted them to use their words thoughtfully and purposely, only making promises that they could and would keep. Why was that? Well, in this, they were to reflect their God. When God speaks in truth and with purpose that will be fulfilled. God's words and promises are unchanging and eternal, and He is worthy of our trust. He's coming into our situation. He's dealt with our sins. A great God. Now, verse 10 of Isaiah 40 speaks of the Lord's mighty rule. He's coming in power. Yet, it is balanced in verse 11, showing Him as a shepherd, gently caring for His sheep. So, in this, we see God comes with power, but also with tenderness. Verses 10 and 11. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. And then verse 11. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. God comes with power, but also with tenderness. With tenderness. His promises are unchanging and eternal. He's coming into our situation. He's dealt with our sin. And He comes with power, but also with tenderness. Now, in verses 12 and following of Isaiah chapter 40, we have a variety of pictures of God. God is pictured as a merchant, weighing and counting his inventory. But rather than sitting at the desk and counting coins and weighing wheat like we might imagine a normal merchant, God is seen measuring the earth's oceans. And He can do that just using the palm of His hand. And what He's weighing on the scales is not gold, it's mountains, the earth's mountains. What a great God. And we go on, we see that idols are nothing more than man-made objects, no matter what they are made out of, gold or silver or wood or stone. And in these verses, in verses 12 to 26, we see that God is incomparable, incomparable. There is no one like Him. There are none like Him, our awesome God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 says, the Holy God asks, who compares with me? Is anyone my equal? And the answer is no. No, no one compares with our great God. God is incomparable. There is none like Him. God comes to us with power, but also with tenderness. God's word and promises are unchanging and eternal. And God Himself comes into our situation, and God has dealt with His people's sin problem. We have a great God, as we see even in this short list from Isaiah chapter 40. It could be longer. So why do we still struggle to trust Him when things in life get crazier than normal for us? When things get a little bit crazier than normal, we begin to doubt that we can trust God. Why? Could it be that our understanding, our image of God is wrong? Could it be that we see God as being just a little bit bigger, just a little bit stronger, just a little bit smarter than us? And that's why we begin to doubt and wonder if He can do anything. Now, if that is the case, if that is your problem, to borrow from J.B. Phillips, your God is too small. Your God is too small. If you think He can't handle whatever's going on in your life, your God is too small. After God humbled Pharaoh in Egypt with 10 plagues, each one focused on one of the great gods of Egypt and humbling them, and freed the Israelites from slavery, and then buried Pharaoh's army in the sea, Moses and the Israelites sang a song to the Lord on the other side of the sea with Pharaoh's army floating there dead. Moses and the Israelites sang a song to the Lord, which included this line in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders. Our God is great. Our God is great. Because our God is great, He is able to do what He promises. You have to remember that. You have to believe that. Because He is great, He is able to do what He promises. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul writes, His, that's Abraham's, faith did not leave him, and he did not doubt God's promise. His faith filled him with power, and he gave praise to God. He was absolutely sure that God would be able to do what He had promised. That was Abraham's faith. He did not doubt God's promise. He was absolutely sure that God would be able to do what He promised. We have a great God. We need to remember that, remind ourselves, read through these passages of Scripture and draw out what we're learning about God. Now, what does this mean for us today? We have a great God. What does this mean for us today? We need to remember, no problem is bigger than God. No problem is bigger than God. None of our problems are going to be bigger than God's ability to deal with them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, King Hezekiah said these words, "Be brave and confident. There is no reason to be afraid of King Sennacherib and his powerful army. We are much more powerful because the Lord our God fights on our side. The Assyrians must rely on human power alone." These words encouraged the army of Judah. King Hezekiah understood this truth. We are more powerful than the Assyrian army because the Lord our God fights on our side, and there is no problem that is bigger than God. Are you facing a problem now that is overwhelming you, that is crushing you, that you think it is hopeless? Do you have a relationship with God? God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus as your sin forgiver, the one who died in your place, and allowed Him to direct your life, your life leader, your Lord? If that's the case, if you have, remind yourself of this truth. No problem is bigger than God. He's so busy. Well, there's another thing as we've gone through this list you need to remember. No detail is too insignificant for God. For some reason, sometimes we think, we'll handle the small stuff, and then I'll go and pray and ask God to help me with the stuff that I've worked on and I haven't been able to figure out. That's arrogance. That's pride. And God hates those things. Don't try to fix it yourself and then bring the muddled up pieces even worse and say, can you help me? Remind yourself, no detail is too insignificant for God. Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, says something so simple yet so comforting. He says, 5 sparrows are sold for just 2 pennies, but God doesn't forget a one of them. Even the hairs on your head are counted, so don't be afraid. You are worth so much more than many sparrows. If God can keep track of those little birds when they fall to the ground, don't you think He's interested? And not just can, he does. Don't you think then he's interested in everything that's happening in your life? No detail is too insignificant for God, and no problem is bigger than him. Another thing this means for us today, our great God, no need is beyond God's reach. No need is beyond God's reach. In Luke chapter 7, verses 14 to 16, Jesus and his disciples were walking one day, and they were interrupted by a procession that was crossing their path. And it was sad. It was a funeral. A funeral of a woman, a widow. Her husband had died. Now she was burying her only son. That would leave her completely destitute, a hopeless situation. Luke chapter 7, verses 14 to 16, we read, Jesus went over, touched the stretcher on which the people were carrying the dead boy. They stopped, and Jesus said, "Young man, get up." The boy sat up and began to speak. Jesus gave him back to his mother. Everyone was frightened and praised God. They said, "A great prophet is here with us. God has come to his people." In that, they were absolutely right. God has come to his people. God himself is coming into our situation. And no need is beyond God's reach. Remind yourself of that. Claim that promise. Live in that truth. Another meaning for us as we think about our great God is that no opportunity is bigger than God. No opportunity is bigger than God. In Numbers chapter 14, it's retelling the story of when God sent the 12 spies into the land that he promised to his people. And they came back with a report. And 10 of them, well, all 12 of them agreed that the land was fantastic. It was abundant. It was well watered. Everything was great. But 10 of them said, we have a problem here. It is fiercely defended. And there not only are the walls strong and tall, there are giants there. They made us feel like grasshoppers. And in Numbers 14, 7 to 9, the two men that believed that no opportunity is bigger than our God spoke up at the risk of they themselves being stoned by the people who now were trembling, said, "We saw the land ourselves, and it is very good. If we obey the Lord, he will surely give us that land, rich with milk and honey. So don't rebel. We have no reason to be afraid of the people who live there. The Lord is on our side, and they won't stand a chance against us." These two saw that there's no opportunity bigger than God. We have no reason to be afraid. The Lord is on our side. The great God is on our side. The God who is unchanging and eternal is on our side. The God who is incomparable, there is none like him, is on our side. Now, another application we need to remind ourselves. We've seen that no problem is bigger than God. No detail is too insignificant for him in our lives. That no need is beyond his reach. No opportunity is bigger than God. And no sin is bigger than God's power to deal with it. No sin is bigger than God's power to deal with it. You might be struggling over what you've done. You might be in the midst of sin. You need to repent of that. You need to turn away from that. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you. But remember, he will. No sin is bigger than God's power to deal with it. In the first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 1, verse 18, we read, "I, the Lord, invite you to come and talk it over. Your sins are scarlet red, but they will be whiter than snow or wool." The Lord can do that. The Lord can take away our sin. No sin is bigger than God's power to deal with it if you come and give it to him and ask him to forgive you. Turn your heart away from it and back to him. No sin is bigger than our God. What a great God we serve. Another thing to remind yourself of, no circumstance can ever make God forget me. No circumstance can ever make God forget me. You know, but all that I've done, no circumstance can ever make God forget me. In Isaiah 44, 21 and 22, Isaiah 44, 21 and 22, we read these words. People of Israel, you are my servant, so remember all of this. Israel, I created you, and you are my servant. I won't forget you. Turn back to me. I have rescued you and swept away your sins as though they were clouds. No circumstance can ever make God forget me. So turn around and come back to him. And finally, no event will ever take God by surprise. No event will ever take God by surprise. I can still wake up and remember a couple of shocking moments. Got into church and someone said to me, "Did you see the news?" I said, "Well, no, Sunday morning. I don't want to be distracted. I don't turn on the news. Princess Diana was killed." Wow, that stunned the world. Another time, it wasn't Sunday. I did turn on the TV, and in complete shock, complete surprise, seeing one of the Twin Towers in New York City on fire. And while we're watching this TV broadcast, another plane slams into the other tower, and then eventually they both come down. Unbelievable. But no event will ever take God by surprise. None of these things surprised him. Remember that. When you're struggling, remember who your God is. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do." God knows what our life is going to look like. In Romans 8:31, Paul writes, "What can we say about all this? If God is on our side, can anyone be against us?" God cares for you, and he knows what's coming. No event will ever take him by surprise. You don't have to go to him in prayer and say, "Oh, God, by the way, I don't know if you heard this yet, but I just lost my job. I was just diagnosed with cancer. My good friend just turned his back on me." None of these things will catch God by surprise. You can go to him knowing he cares. No problem is bigger than God. No detail in your life is too insignificant for him. No need in your life is beyond his reach. No opportunity is bigger than his ability. No sin is bigger than God's power to deal with it in your life. And no circumstance can ever make God forget you, because no event will ever take him by surprise. Isaiah chapter 40 invites you to slow down and stop and reflect on the greatness of God. Accept his invitation to place your hope in him as your Lord. And what does he say? He will renew your strength. He will renew your strength. We have a great God. Spend time reflecting, growing, understanding what he is like. And then live according to those truths. Live like you believe them. Live like you believe them. God has dealt with his people's sin. God is involved in our situation. His word and promises are unchanging and eternal. He comes with power, but also with tenderness, and no one compares to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Now forgive me for forgetting. This is who you are. This is whom we serve. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to close the service by singing a hymn. We're not going to do it here, but you may want to look it up, how great thou art. For the benediction, let me read from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, second half of verse 20. Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Come near our great God and remind yourself what He is like, whom you serve, and may it change how you live today. God bless you. Goodbye.